Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Willis, another dart, another catch. It's Watson for the touchdown. Willis, two strikes, and right back at you. Green Bay has life at home.
For the touchdown, and he'll keep it here. Running himself with space to move. Touchdown.
Malik gets shifty, and the Packers are within a score.
Them up first down and 10 from the 11. Willis pulls.
Willis runs. Willis scores. Touchdown, Green Bay.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Packers lose to the Ravens on Saturday night, 41-24, setting up a meaningless game against the Vikings as the Packers are locked into the 7 seed. They will play the Chicago Bears or the Philadelphia Eagles in the first round of the postseason. That is to be determined, but of course it will certainly be in Chicago or in Philadelphia as the Packers will be a road team in the postseason. And I do see the reaction out there. I see a lot of people who are talking about the expanded playoff, and that was in 2020, I believe. Had the league not gone to the expanded playoff, the Packers would have missed the postseason these last 3 years. And that is a sense of frustration that is cause for concern for many Packers fans. I said it at the beginning of the show. I can't begrudge it now. They're in. It's like, you know, they expanded the college football playoff also. And if Ohio State, you know, doesn't get the expanded playoff last year, they don't win a national title. But guess what, guys? They did.
Yeah, Steph right? Curry wouldn't be a good three-point shooter if they didn't add the three-point line. I guess I just don't care. It's not like they just added it last year. It's 5 years ago at this point where they added this thing, right? Like, it's a different rule change. Yeah.
And yes, we talk all the time about how there are steps to success. You want to see incremental progress. You don't expect a team to go from the cellar to the top, although teams do it. You're seeing that turnaround happen more quickly. Bears are a good example of that. Even the Jaguars,
Patriots,
right?
Our team. Yeah.
Hey, Patriots as well, when you get Mike Vrabel in there. So it does happen where teams are able to turn it around a lot faster. So I understand that the Packers fan base, when they are expecting excellence, when Super Bowls are the standard, are frustrated about them being the 7th seed. But Chew, do you think that the 7th seed year in and year out is some sort of indictment of the leadership? What I'm asking is, the fact that they have been in the postseason but have been the 7th seed, do you sit there and point the finger at Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst for not coaching this team well enough or putting a good enough roster together?
Yes, this has been a disappointing season. And there's little bits and pieces you got to add to the disappointment. I mean, injuries. But all teams have injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all teams do. So you can't use that as an excuse. It's just like things have to change. They have to change. And I know we're not at the end of the season, but I'm not going to pick them, whoever they're playing, Philadelphia or Chicago, to win that game. And if they do lose that game, you can't just always roll it back. It just seems like that's all we do. And we say, well, the injuries will be better next year. It's not good enough. You know, it's not good enough. This roster isn't good enough. And I don't know what it is, you know. And I get it. Like McKinney, you know, great example, had an unbelievable year last year. Was in the discussion for Defensive Player of the Year. A lot of times you don't follow seasons up like that. So I'm not saying he's not a great player. And you could say the same thing for Josh Jacobs, right? He clearly had a better year last year than he did this year, but he's still a good player.
Being used differently.
Being used differently, it's just I have some issues on how this team is run. I just do. I don't like the committee crap, you know? If Tucker Kraft didn't get hurt, they ain't using him by committee. They're not like, oh, well, Musgrave will play 40% of the snaps, you know? I mean, Christian Watson's clear your guy. Ride him. They never develop Golden. I mean, I thought he'd have 45 catches and be a part. He was never a part of this offense. Would you agree?
I would agree. He was never a part. He would be sprinkled in on occasion.
Yeah. So I have issues with things like that. And I wouldn't have spent the money on the offensive line. Right? I wouldn't have signed Banks. I just wouldn't have. Would have left Elton. This offensive line probably would have been better if you left Elton at left guard and brought Myers back.
Oh, yeah. Myers they were a lot cheaper, yeah.
Because they were fine. And then you'd have money. So I have, you know, I have some issues on how things are done.
But again, that seems like you're spreading the blame all the way around you, and that's why I feel like a lot of the conversation focuses just on Matt LaFleur, and I would tie the two of these guys together at the hip.
Okay, so even if they are tied together, what do you think Ed Policy does? Do you think that being the seventh seed for yet another year, and let's just play the hypotheticals, right? We'll do the choose-your-own-adventure thing here. Let's say we turn the page to them getting bounced in the first round, whether that's to the Bears or whether it's to the Eagles. Is that a... Absolutely, they both are gone.
I
think it's minimum extensions are offered, and we see what happens.
I don't know. His dad was a no-nonsense guy, and I remember he got rid of Seifert not far after Seifert won a Super Bowl, but he thought it was Bill Walsh's team and didn't like the direction that was going. So we canned him. I mean, that was his dad, but...
Yeah, but also, I guess the lesson to be learned there, too, after they got rid of Seifert, they didn't go into another Super Bowl for a while.
Yeah.
You know,
because they brought in Mooch. Yeah. I think they brought in Mooch.
Mooch was fine. You know, they had some success, you know, made the playoffs more often than not.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They never made it to a Super Bowl until Jim Harbaugh came in. And then, obviously, a couple now with Kyle Shanahan. But
I just know, like, you know, GMs like their guys. GMs do not like to come in with a current head coach there. If the structure is the old structure where the GM is the boss.
Well, so that's another angle, too. Maybe they don't change the personnel, meaning Goody and LaFleur. Maybe they change the structure. And all of a sudden, Policy says Goody is Matt LaFleur's boss.
I don't think they can do that while they're here, Jen.
Yeah, that's why I think you tie him at the hip. Now, whoever the next GM is, sure, I think you can do that. But I think...
Correct.
And I know that's something that Rob hinted at a couple of weeks ago with us, where he thinks that is a possibility. I just think that would be, I'm with you, Chu. I think it'd be too tough to go from, hey, you guys are equals, to actually now this guy's your boss. But I think you have to keep it the way it is now as long as those two guys are still here.
Like, let's say they keep LaFleur, keep Goody, and Halfley goes to be a head coach somewhere. We'll be stressing over the defense next year.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be really stressing for the first six games. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, Gabe, what makes you think that? And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I want to understand the philosophy behind it. Because they've always done it that way with these two guys, they would be reticent, hesitant to change the structure? Because Policy can do whatever the hell he wants, honestly.
Oh, yes. But I just think that you're asking too much of those two guys to flip the structure, right? But now you're asking, hey, you're equal. Matt LaFleur, you're equal, but now this guy's your boss.
Yeah, but also
now you have to do what this guy says.
But I'm saying you could make the argument as Ed Policy and say your performances have not been good enough to warrant you being equal to the GM, therefore we're demoting you, quote unquote, to now answering to the GM.
Yeah, but also the GM hasn't been good. To me, if you're LaFleur, the GM hasn't been good enough for you to have to answer to.
Again, I think you could go back to the Micah Parsons thing and say that move, that big swing, which was paying off until he got injured with the season-ending ACL, saved him or at least gives him a little bit more leverage in that situation.
Well, LaFleur developed Jordan Love. Jordan Love wasn't very good when he first came in and played for the Packers. He's gotten to the point where he is because I would say Matt LaFleur has been able to coach him up and get to a good spot. Yeah, so one good move by Goody gets rid of Nate Hobbs being really bad, Aaron Banks not being very good. You haven't drafted a Pro Bowl player since the 2019 draft. Like, that gets rid of one move for Micah gets rid of all of the bad for Goody. If we're looking at this roster and saying it's not good enough, that's not on LaFleur. That's not his department. And that's why I would just tie these guys together at the hip.
I wouldn't
want to ask my head coach to now go through that power. If that's what you're going to ask LaFleur to do, then to me, you just fire him.
Was there any point this season where you felt the roster was good enough? Was there any game this season where you said, oh my gosh, this is what Goody's vision was. This is the performance that we expected out of these players, and they can win a Super Bowl? Because I feel like we had that conversation. I feel like we were saying Super Bowl or bust. I feel like we were saying this is a team that can beat anybody.
Yeah, but you would have said the same thing about Matt LaFleur at that time, would you have not? Yeah, I think the answer is yes, you would have. That you can, it's not like, oh, Matt LaFleur is holding this team back after they won three straight division
games.
My
only question about Matt LaFleur was, why aren't you giving Jordan Love more freedom downfield? Why aren't you letting him make those plays? And we talked about it. Maybe he didn't trust him. You know, and maybe that was in his gut. He thought he doesn't have it yet. He's still working towards it, you know. But again, to see Malik Willis go out there and have all of those plays, and I know it was partially what the defense was giving them, and they chose to run the offense that way and let him air it out. But I think that was my only question about Matt LaFleur at times was like, why isn't he letting Jordan Love throw the ball downfield? Why isn't he opening up the playbook for Jordan Love?
And I think, again, at that time, a lot of teams were playing a lot. I mean, again, it's not just, you know, oh, let Jordan Love let it rip. If teams are playing too high, you can't push the ball down the field. Then you have to run the ball better. You weren't running the ball better. Why? Because your offensive line wasn't blocking well enough. That all gets tied in together. Yeah. And the Packers were pushing the ball down the field once they started running the football better. Teams had to respect the run a little bit more, and they were getting looks where Jordan could push the ball down the field because they were doing that.
I think it's more of a defensive issue. I mean, if you looked at the first two games of the year, how they were flying around, yeah, how much energy, and then they play Cleveland, and it's like, what happened?
But I would say, they were doing that for the first 58 minutes against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Until that onside kick happened. I mean, they were flying around. They were making plays. They were gang tackling. There were hats to the football. They've done that a bunch at times this year. But to your point, it hasn't been consistent enough.
Consistently, yeah.
I think we have to figure out if you're Ed Policy. And it's tricky because we don't really know him all that well, right? We know things about him, but it's mostly periphery information. I think we have to figure out if having Tucker Kraft get injured, having Micah Parsons get injured, if he believes that that was just too much for this team to overcome, but with talent like that, they could have made a deep Super Bowl run, or which one weighs more in his mind? That situation of the injuries that this team has dealt with, or watching the team this past weekend against the Ravens with, yes, a slim but still a possibility of winning the division, an opportunity to go out there and show that you are a playoff caliber team, not just a playoff team in name. That might leave a very nasty taste in Ed Policy's mouth, that game this past Saturday. And that may be something he points to when he decides to make a change.
One of the sayings I like from Homer, catch him on the Homer Hour every weekday from 5 to 6, you can be bad, you can't be embarrassing. And after that game is the first time I thought about these guys being let go, because I think you can use the injuries as, hey man, this team was could have been right there, some real key injuries, maybe we let them run back. Giving up 41 points in the manner in which they did, giving up 307 rushing yards, at home, that's embarrassing.
Can I ask you guys a question, or revisit a question I asked probably a month and a half ago based on Malik Willis's performance? Would you rather have Micah Parsons back and sit Jordan Love? Would you rather have Jordan Love out and Micah Parsons back?
Well, I think because of Malik Willis's performance, and again, I don't know how consistently he can deliver that. I don't know if that can be a week in and week out every day of the NFL season. But I think based on what you saw this past week against the Ravens, yes, I think you'd rather have Micah Parsons back out there on the field and have Malik Willis taking snaps.
I think your ceiling's just as high without any one of them. I don't think Malik can do that on a sustained basis.
You don't think so?
I don't.
You don't think he can do enough?
Not to win not to win a Super Bowl. No.
This defense can't win a Super Bowl. Anyone that has that belief is insane.
Oh, I'm 100% there with you. But I'm saying the ceiling's the same if Micah's out or if Jordan's out. I think the ceiling's the same. You hope that you can win that wild card round game, and then that's probably about it.
Yeah.
Because once Malik puts more tape out there, then coordinators are going to make the appropriate adjustments.
Yeah.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line, guys. Stacy says, if you think this team will win another game this season, I'm sorry. You seem to not be real about telling the truth about Packers football. Don't take it personal. Chewy keeps it real. We need more like him. Don weighing in saying, if there isn't a change in the coaching staff or the GM, how can the Packers improve? Are they closer to the Super Bowl than they were last year or the year before? The answer is no. And then Justin says, remember, we are once again the youngest roster in football. When injuries hit, that always shows up. And again, that has been a philosophical decision by the GM. To be one of the youngest teams, if not the youngest, which they have been repeatedly, in the league, because he believes that youth, apparently, never really gone on the record and said why that is his mantra, but he believes that youth is better served than experience. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Don't forget, we have Rob Demoski coming up. Rob Demovsky, coming up in the bottom of the hour. So stick around for that and more.
About a month from now, we're going to have an event at Potawatomi Casino Hotel, and I'm excited for it because you can join wrestling legend Kevin Nash January 31st for an elevated viewing experience of one of the best events of the year. The Royal Rumble will be there with Good Karma Wrestling and Kevin Nash. You can watch your favorite WWE superstars battle it out in the match of the year. It's going to be in the annex of Potawatomi Casino. So just for $100 per person, you can enjoy two complimentary drinks, unlimited buffet access, a photo and autograph with the legend Kevin Nash himself, $25 in reward or match play to your favorite games on us, plus a shot at winning your own WWE Championship belt. It's an elevated viewing experience of the Royal Rumble, January 31st. Secure your spot today by visiting the Potawatomi website.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Look, we're all guilty of it. Sometimes you see something shiny, flashy, and you go, ooh, I want to go to there. I want to have that. So it is understandable why Packers fans have looked at Malik Willis's performance recently and said, ooh, that's intriguing. Entering Saturday night, Willis owned a 132.2 passer rating, had thrown for over 600 yards, closer to 700 actually, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions in 10 games. That's 2 starts for the Green Bay Packers. And then you saw what he did on Saturday, which was absolutely electric. Just making all the throws. And Matt LaFleur did compliment the quarterback, the backup quarterback, saying as much, saying he can make all the throws. But Will, I'm going to have you pull up the sound. When asked yesterday about whether or not there was a quote unquote quarterback controversy, and I don't believe that that term was used, but you know what I mean when I say that, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think, guys, I want to pump the brakes on all that stuff. I think Jordan Love is playing some pretty high-level football, and it's great that we feel the same about Malik in his ability to go in there. And, you know, I thought he's had two really back-to-back outstanding performances. So we're in a good spot with that position. Certainly have a lot of confidence in both of those guys. But, I mean, it's pretty clear that Jordan is our franchise quarterback, and he is going to be when he is healthy, he's going to be our starter. So I just want to squash all that.
I saw the reporter who asked that question catching some flack on social media. What a dumb question. How could you even think that? Just a peek behind the curtain. Sometimes you ask a question that you know the answer to because you need the coach, the important characters, to be on the record saying such. It's all well and good for you, me, Gabe, Jason Wilde, Rob Demovsky to speculate about that stuff. But sometimes you just need to hear it from the horse's mouth in order to squash any conversation that might be percolating. And that's what that was. So I don't have any issue with the question being asked, even if the reporter didn't think it was an issue that needed to be addressed.
Again, it was just kind of a soft way of asking it. It was just, hey, do you have to find a way to get Malik on the field? Was basically the question there, because he has been playing at a high level. And, you know, LaFleur didn't dismiss maybe having a package for Malik, but you know, Jordan's the guy. And it's understandable. Like, again, this guy was in week 15, he had the third best MVP odds, Jordan Love. Like, that doesn't happen by accident, right? He was playing incredibly well. The injuries happened. Now this losing streak happened. So he completely falls off. And it's probably going to be Matthew Stafford's award to lose. But Jordan Love was playing some pretty damn good football up until he got knocked out against the Chicago Bears.
Chew, where do you think Malik Willis is next year? There's a number of teams. We've seen the names. There's a number of teams that are interested or trying to upgrade at the quarterback position. I'm not sure what it says about these teams that Malik Willis would be an upgrade for what they have been drafting or acquiring other ways. But where do you think he ends up?
Probably on a bad team where he will be competing for the starting job would be my guess, because he's done enough to at least let him kick the tires, you know? I mean, because there's a lot of bad quarterback play around the league, so I could see him, you know, signing, I don't know, what would a competing quarterback get? $15 million, Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, something like that. You know, 3 years, you know, $45 million,
I mean, he has a skill set. He has, he has a skill set because he can scramble, he can run, throws a pretty good ball. I think LaFleur said he can make all the throws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a strong arm.
Is he going to be, you know, a Pro Bowl player? Probably not.
I actually think he could be starting week one for a franchise. I think we should put that on the poll. I think, will Malik Willis be a starter in the league week one of next year? I think adamantly, yes. Some of the teams I've seen chew, Arizona Cardinals, Miami Dolphins, Las Vegas Raiders, Indianapolis Colts. You like any of those from Malik Willis?
Yeah.
I'd rather he's in the AFC.
I mean, the Raiders aren't – I would eliminate the Raiders there. They're probably going to take – they're going to have the number one pick. So they're going to take their own guy, develop him, not have to pay that guy until, you know, down the road.
He's better than Justin Fields in New York.
Oh, yeah.
I would take him over yours. I would probably take him over anything they have in Cleveland.
Although Quinn Ewers looked better than Tua in – the limited time.
How low do we want to set the bar?
We all believe that Rodgers is going to retire. There's an opening in
We believe Rodgers should retire. That doesn't mean he will retire. What about the Indianapolis Colts and their quarterback situation?
I think they like Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but Jones, who knows when he's going to be available to
Achilles. He tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
Arizona? Yeah. I think
Miami.
Spots for him.
Especially if Mike McDaniel sticks around, which it seems like he is, that the way that they've played the last few weeks, he's kind of saved his job. He didn't lose the team. I think Miami makes a ton of sense for Malik Willis.
Nobody likes Arizona? Nobody likes him to replace Kyler Murray out there?
That's a spot. It would have been nice if they were able to trade him.
That's a spot. That's a great.
that exists. I think they still play football there.
New Orleans?
I think they're going to ride it out with Shuck. He's been playing decent the last few games. He had another 300-yard passing game yesterday.
I mean, does Atlanta love Penix?
Yes, they're going to keep rolling with Penix.
Minnesota?
That would be an interesting one, Chu, just because how much do they actually believe in J.J. McCarthy? Because, again, that roster, if they beat the Packers and Vikings are going to have the same number of wins this season. Just tells you how good that Vikings roster is and how much J.J. McCarthy's held them back.
Yeah. So, yeah, he'll have a spot. He ain't going to be in Green Bay.
I think we each should take a team just for funsies.
Miami.
I'll take Minnesota.
Wow, that's a wild card, too. I think I like your explanation about the Raiders. Colts?
Colts are an interesting
team. Colts could be fun. I'll take the Colts. We better write that stuff down, Will, to make sure that we hold on to it. As far as where we think Malik Willis will be next year. And again, weigh in on our Infinity Exteriors poll. Do you agree that he will be a week one starter in the league after what you have seen from him, not just on Saturday night against the Ravens, guys? This has been going back. Every time Malik Willis is out there, it seems like he is getting better and better, making strides, making progress. We got to talk to Rob Domofsky, and that will happen right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Something exciting happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. On the second floor, you'll find the studio kitchen and cocktails, Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Start your day with breakfast that fuels you, stop in for dinner that sparks conversation, or linger late into the evening. They got drinks that will inspire. Flavors and beverages for every mood. The studio is the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. Be boldly social at the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails, now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. That's St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Once again, Rob.
He's cracking the lip.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just a few moments ago, Rob Domofsky tweeted out his article from last night, which is Packers, LaFleur, Love will start over Willis once healthy. Rob, I want to get to you on this. What do you think the plan will be, not should be, but will be this week when they take on the Vikings?
All right, that's a great question, Jen. If you look at, LaFleur mentioned what happened last year with Christian Watson getting hurt in that finale, and Jordan Love actually having the didn't he have an elbow injury in that game where he ended up not coming back? Probably could have.
Correct.
He mentioned that yesterday in his press conference, and that makes me think he's, you know, worried about, you know, more injuries. His team can't take many more injuries. However, he also made the point was, you know, we only have 53 guys. This isn't the preseason. You can't rest everyone, right? Like, I mean, there's this, you know, the guys who are hurt and questionable, you know, I'm guessing they won't play. You know, the Zach Toms, the Josh Jacobs, you know, those types of players. But, you know, you're going to have to feel, you only get, what, 48 on game day. You're going to have to play some starters. I think even if Jordan Love passes concussion protocol, he won't play this week. Or if he does, he'll play just a couple of series to try to knock the rust off, like a preseason type game.
Shoot, we can't hear you, pal. There we go.
Rob, is this roster overinflated from a talent standpoint? And I'm talking more defense, because when Parsons goes down, I was hearing, well,
yeah,
this team was a Super Bowl contender before they even signed Parsons. Come on, yeah. What are we doing?
Well, I think the problem, Chewy, is two things. One, they had so many injuries on the defensive line, because if you think about, okay, I know Kenny Clark was traded, right, and he picked up Micah Parsons, but just bear with me here for a second. You mm-hmm. didn't re-sign T.J. Slayton, who was probably your best run stopper from a year ago. Kenny Clark's gone. That's two interior linemen. Devontae Wyatt was supposed to take this big jump and looked like he might have been. He's hurt. You have so many injuries, you know, and departures at that spot, including Parsons now, that it's decimated it. And then the other thing is, we thought cornerback was a big weakness going into the season, and they didn't really add to it, so it's still a weakness. So I think you add those two things together, plus the fact that Lucas Van Ness hasn't really taken the next step for whatever reason, whether it's injuries or what, and Rashawn Gary's arc seems to be going way, way down. You know, that adds up to something like what happened against Baltimore. Not saying they can't play good defense, because they have in stretches. I mean, this was the 10th ranked run defense going into the game on Saturday night. So it's not like they were just getting killed, but boy, it was ugly for all those reasons I just mentioned.
Yeah, it was ugly, Rob. I think you could even throw the word kind of embarrassing out there. And I know we've had the discussions with you of, okay, they've probably already made their decision on what they're going to do with LaFleur and Gutekunst. But if this continues, if they lose on Sunday and then lose that playoff game, does that change the math of what they want to do with the futures of those two guys who will have 1 year remaining on their contracts?
Sure could. Yeah, it sure could, Gabe. I mean, I agree that I think, you know, Ed Policy probably already knows what he wants to do. But if it, you know, if they lose and then lose in the playoffs, that would end the season on what? Would that be a five-game losing streak?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and then you throw in last year, it was what, three-game losing streak, or was it four? Three plus the playoff, or three including the playoff?
I think it was three including the playoff.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bad sign when you're not playing your best late in the year. And you know what? I get the injury thing, but they're not the only team in the league that's had major injuries. Great coaches and great GMs and all that find a way to overcome it. And, you know, they just haven't. So,
Rob, could you put a percentage on that if they do lose these last two? Your gut tell you? 50-50?
You know, last time I put a percentage on something, I said when Rodgers, that whole offseason of discontent, I said there was only about a 5% chance that he'd be back, and of course he's back. So I don't know. You know, here's the thing. We just don't know Ed Policy.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what his MO is. Like, does he value stability? Like, does he want to be like what the Steelers have been, what the Ravens have been? I mean, what's Harbaugh been there? 18 years or something like that? Like, it's been a long run. Tomlin maybe even longer. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, those are the top two, Rob, in terms of longevity at their current jobs in the NFL.
Yeah, and they've been winning, you know, they've been winning organizations. Have they been championship organizations? You know, probably not. But does he value something like that, Chewy? Or, you know, is he a, hey, 9-10 wins and a playoff appearance isn't good enough. We just don't know.
Rob, I just go back to when his dad fired Seifert in San Francisco.
Yeah, everybody does.
And it wasn't far after a Super Bowl. So if he's anything like his dad seemed to be kind of a no-nonsense guy.
Are you anything like your dad, Chewy?
As far as going to bed early and working 2 hours a day. Yeah, we're pretty similar.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Does everyone operate like their old man? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on a Monday morning. Okay, Rob, Matt LaFleur said, let me pull up the sheet. I need to go back, take a peek at this, and see exactly what went wrong. How would you explain to Packers fans what went wrong with the defense? Because it was gash after gash. I joked it looked like that they had, called in sick. They were still on holiday, et cetera, all of the things. How can you explain how that unit looked so bad?
Yeah, so the next day, that quote was from after the game, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, he said what was probably the most disappointing thing after watching the tape is just how many times we weren't playing the right technique or weren't in the right position. And then when we did have some opportunities, there were times when we did play okay. But he said this is stuff we've been calling since the preseason, throughout camp, throughout the course of the season, whether it's a check or not getting adjustments right. Like that's hard to explain. I mean, that's the explanation, right? But that's hard to believe that this could happen, at this point in the season. But, like, mistakes on alignments, on assignments, on checks. Is that coaching? Is that poor players? I'm not sure. But that's ultimately what happened, Jen. And, it added up to 216 yards for Derrick Henry and 307 for the Ravens. It was funny because Matt LaFleur said, I don't know when you don't see 300-yard rushing games too many times. Well, the Packers have given up 300 three times since 1978, including playoffs. Twice were under LaFleur. It was in 2022 against the Eagles, and the other one was the playoff game against San Francisco, which predates him. It was at 2012, I think.
Rob, I'm going to throw some names out to you. You tell me if you think they're back here next year or they're gone.
Okay.
Romeo Doubs.
Yes, because I think he'll be affordable.
Malik Willis.
No.
Rashid Walker.
No.
Ingabare.
Yeah, I'd say decent chance there.
And then Quay Walker.
Well, that's a hard one because that will be expensive. I would have said yes for sure maybe a month or 6 weeks ago. I'm still gonna go yes. You gotta re-sign some guys. You can't start completely over. I'm surprised you didn't have Rashawn Gary on that list, or have you already
to save time, I think at this point
foregone conclusion and whatnot. I'm surprised you didn't have Jeff Hafley. I know it was mostly player related, but you think Jeff Hafley is back? Because I know there's a question out there about if the defense played so bad, why aren't we criticizing Hafley more? But I still think he is the number one coordinator on teams that need a head coach's list.
Yeah, certainly if you're willing to hire a defensive head coach, he would be number one. I think there's a pretty good chance that he gets a head coaching job.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Matt LaFleur was coaching the number one offense when he became the head coach here. I think when McCarthy was hired, they had the 31st ranked defense. Yeah, offense, they were bad. So if you like a coordinator, to me, at this point, you like the coordinator, and he's got head coaching experience, certainly.
I agree.
Rob, how are they going to fill out the back part of this roster? Because right now they're at 52. It seems like Riley and Kamal Haddon are going to be out for the year, so now they're at 50. Yep. So again, that goes back to who are you going to play if you rest starters? Because you only have 50. Are they even going to try to fill out the back part of the roster?
Yeah, I mean, most likely, Gabe, it comes from the practice squad or, a waiver claim or, a street free agent sign. There's no superstars out there available. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So it'll be hard. But, you're almost better off trying to promote guys that have been here all year from the, and are on the practice squad that at least, have an idea of what you want to do Because that's really your best option at this point. And, you know, I'm not so sure it's the strongest practice squad I've ever seen, but that's the way they're going to have to go, and they're going to have to make it work.
Rob, why is Bo Melton still playing offense when all their receivers are back?
Yeah, I don't understand it, Chewy. I mean, you know, that interception was not, I don't think, was Clayton Tune's fault.
No.
You know, was it the perfect throw? No, but Bo Melton's got to catch that. And I just, this whole thing, we wrote and spent how much time in the offseason talking about Bo Melton as a cornerback, and he hasn't played a single snap on defense all year. I don't understand. I don't understand it. Bo Melton also, you know, he was on the onside kick recovery team in Chicago that they didn't get. Not saying it was his fault, but they certainly like him for special teams and like him for a reason. But I don't know that I see the upside there.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Hopefully, we have happier things to talk about the next time we gather. Although, again, we are basically chalking up that Vikings game as meaningless. Here's what I will say, and maybe you agree with me on this. You can build a lot of goodwill by going out there and beating the brakes off the Vikings, even if the game is meaningless, right?
I do think there is something to at least feeling good about yourself going into the playoffs. I mean, it is a little bit like a preseason game that I couldn't tell you if the Packers won or lost their preseason finale this year because it doesn't really matter. But maybe there is a little bit of a feeling of, you know, going into the playoffs with a little bit of momentum and maybe answering some questions. But either way, next Monday, Jen, we're going to be talking about the playoffs. So, you know, I guess it's a new season when we speak next.
He's Rob Domofsky. Read his stuff on ESPN.com. Follow him on socials and always listen to him on Mondays with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Thanks, Rob.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Be back right after this.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions, too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now at Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
We got feisty reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line and on the YouTube stream. Jim says, I think Matt LaFleur has lost the team. And then Jaylian, loyal listener, says, ESPN Milwaukee can never be critical of Love or give Malik any type of hype. I feel like we hyped up Malik pretty strongly this morning. I think we said that he was electric, he was dynamic, he was fantastic. We believe he will be elsewhere because he's been so good as a backup quarterback in these spot starts in emergencies for the Green Bay Packers. But I also think that we have been realistic in that the Green Bay Packers franchise is not handing the keys over to Malik Willis. No matter how great Malik Willis plays, they are locked in with Jordan Love as the franchise quarterback. Matt LaFleur said as much yesterday without even being asked specifically about any sort of quarterback controversy. So even if we think Malik Willis is the best thing since sliced bread, if the people making the decisions don't, that's just how it's going to go, Gabe.
Malik's been great. He's not as good as Jordan Love. Mm-mm. Like, I'm not going to pretend that he is. That doesn't take away anything that Malik Willis has done, you know, over the last couple of games. But again, they've got their guy. They're going to ride with Jordan Love. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to
miss Malik. Like, and as we've seen the last couple of years, Chew, having a backup quarterback that has been as good as he has is such a thing that you want. And the fact that he's going to be gone and they have to replace that, that's one of the bigger holes I think they have on the roster.
And we'll give someone some more credit. Goody deserves credit for that. Because no one was giving that guy a shot. He went out and traded for him. Turned out to be a really good trade. But I don't think someone's going to hand him the reins. But they certainly, they should allow him to compete for a starting job because he's done enough. And whoever disparaged him in the way they did should really apologize to the kid. Because they were wrong.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were plenty of teammates that stepped up. Jen,
I think that has been done, actually. I think I've seen guys who were really? Very critical and who had said, and you keep mentioning Taylor Lewan, mm-hmm. who was a teammate of his in Tennessee. I think he has even said, my bad. I was wrong about Malik. But
again,
also, he could have evolved as well, right? I'm doing a feature right now on Fernando Mendoza at Indiana guys, right? Heisman Trophy winner Fernando Mendoza leading them into the Rose Bowl against Alabama this week. He said that in the spring game, he was bad. He said that in 7-7, he got better. He said in the first game of the season, he didn't throw a single passing touchdown. He rushed for one. He said he looked it up. There has never been a Heisman Trophy winner who didn't throw a single passing touchdown in week one of the season he won the Heisman. And yet Fernando Mendoza got better each and every week to the point of winning the Heisman. Malik Willis has gotten better. There's no doubt about that.
And true, you want to give credit to Goody, but credit to Matt LaFleur and Sean Mannion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, those two guys, Manny and the quarterback coach, like, those two guys developing him, getting him to a point where he's comfortable, and again, developing him over the last couple of seasons has been fantastic.
Yeah, he's a nice player.
All things considered, we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Who should start at quarterback in Week 18, Jordan Love or Malik Willis? Jordan Love dealing with a concussion. He was in concussion protocol. The general thought is that he will be cleared by Week 18, but would you still want to sit the quarterback and have Malik Willis go out there? We just heard from Rob Domofsky, who thinks that Jordan Love will play in a limited capacity. Not that he will be limited health-wise, but he thinks that that will be the way that the Packers choose to go. Right now, Malik Willis is winning that poll 53% of the vote, Jordan Love with 47. We also
Malik's more beat up than Jordan right now.
With the shoulder.
Yes. Like, I'm more concerned about the shoulder than the concussion, because it seemed like Jordan was close to clearing concussion protocol last week. Unfortunately, unable to do it. I think he'll get past those hurdles he needs to this week. That shoulder is... You're feeling pain in your shoulder after not getting hit, after just throwing the football? That's concerning.
Sometimes you only hear what you want, though, Gabe, and I think fans out there have heard that they said that had the game not gotten out of hand, 41-24, Malik would have gone back out there.
Yes.
So I think people are like, oh, he's good. He's healthy. Could have gone back out there. We also put it on the poll, who would you rather the Packers play in the first round of the playoffs? We told you this morning they are locked into the 7 seed. They will play the Eagles or the Bears, and 72% of people want the Bears again. Chew, you agree?
Yes, I do. And I think the Bears, I think Detroit is going to rest players as well because their season's done with. So that should be a win. And see you in Chicago.
Will Malik Willis be a week one starter in 2026? 80% of respondents say yes, he will. Now we just got to figure out where he's going to be. I take the Colts. Chewy took the Vikings. Gabe took the Miami Dolphins. Will, you want to throw a vote in there?
I'm going to vote for the Vikings as well.
Steelers was another one that was that you, Gabe, that said Steelers? Somebody on the
No,
on
I think
text
somebody
line?
On the talk and text line. I don't know if I like Will sucking up to Chew like that.
Yeah.
Well, he's got me with him all week. So he's just trying to lay the groundwork.
We don't have shows Wednesday and Thursday.
Got to be with him tomorrow. He's got to lay the groundwork.
I don't want to make my bet on Monday.
Will Dean Tausch is next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.